From ACB Radio Mainstream, welcome to Tuesday Topics. For the next hour, we will be discussing a topic of interest to blind and visually impaired people. And now, from Miami, Florida, the host of Tuesday Topics, Paul Edwards.
Good evening. This is Paul Edwards in Miami, Florida. And I'd like to welcome everyone to this evening's edition of Tuesday Topics. I'd like to thank our producer, Brian Charlson, for all the work that he does to make Tuesday Topics happen. And also, I would like to thank Steve Bauer, our erstwhile editor-in-chief, who turns chaos into contentment every week. Obviously, as well, we need to thank George Byes of Talking Communities, without whose software this program would not happen. So, George, we appreciate having Talking Communities out there, and we appreciate having this plugin available to us on ACB Radio. Thank you, sir. This evening, I feel very fortunate to have as our guest someone who I have admired for, 15 years or so. And I've admired him because of the work that he has done in fields where there's not a lot of glory to be had, but where there sure is a lot of work to be done. Our guest tonight is from Canada. He lives in Ontario, and his name is Michael Fair. Many of you may remember Michael, if you've been on the internet for a long time, as the former editor and perhaps the chief architect as well of a magazine called Odyssey, which was in its time an immense contribution to the internet because it was the only regular magazine which dealt with gaming and people who are blind. Michael, over the last couple of years, has probably moved a little bit away from his deep involvement in gaming, though I suspect he still plays a bit. We'll find out later. But what Michael has been doing over the past couple of years is working on a new project, which he released earlier this year, and which we'll find out a lot more about. And that project is a project called Personal Power. What Personal Power is and what it does, Michael will tell us. But before we actually get into a discussion of Personal Power, Michael, why don't you begin by telling us a little bit about yourself, where you're from, how long you've been blind, what your experiences have been, and then perhaps, if you get that far, what led you to think about doing something like Personal Power. So welcome, Michael Fair.
Well, thanks very much, Paul, for the opportunity. I'm delighted to be able to reach a slightly different audience than usual, and certainly to be provide content to such an amazing station and site as ACB Radio. You guys have really inspired me, been one of my major inspirations. And that's really, I guess, growing up, I've been blind all my life. I've moved around, lived in Ontario, Canada. It's a pretty fortunate province, all things considered. We have a really good program here called Assisted Devices Program, which provides computers for personal use. You can get every 5 years or so, you can get funding. And this starts back when you're in grade school, so it's sort of with you all your life. And you can get funding towards computers and access software, and this is for personal use. And that's kind of important. I'll be coming back to that a little later. Basically, I grew up as access technology was arriving on the scene and became available outside of the school. Like, you could actually have, in my case, I started out with an Apple IIe when I was about 10 years old, and an Echo Speech Synthesizer, and Bex, Braille Edit Express, and a Versa Braille, a 20-pound forerunner to today's note-takers. And basically what happened with me, and this was where it all got started really, was my teacher at the time gave me a disc of games. We had started using these things in class for typing and doing assignments on, but it was very slow going because, well, who's really interested in doing assignments, right? Unless you have to. And yeah, it was kind of neat at first, but you know, after the whiz-bangery wears off, you're kind of left with, oh, but all I'm really doing is writing, and I can do that with a Brailler, right? And what happened was I got this disc, and it had all these games on it. And, you know, I might spend, you know, maybe, you know, half an hour to an hour doing homework a night, willingly, I guess, as much as anyone can. But I would spend, you know, 4 or 5 hours playing those games, and I do it on weekends. And those games taught me how to type and how to use my access technology better, and all while I was having fun. And as I've said on other occasions, we learn best when we don't know we're doing it at all. And that's a huge advantage that sighted people have when it comes to computers over blind people, because of how it's presented to them. How these machines are marketed to them is entirely different. And unfortunately, even with this personal ADP program, all it really trains you to do is read and write. Now, that's all they're mandated to teach you, and it really leaves a lot to be desired, because all the other stuff, the internet shopping, the online games, communicating with people around the world, all that stuff you might not even be aware of. In fact, I met a lot of blind people who weren't as fortunate as I was. I had family, I had friends growing up who supported me and who always pushed me to try beyond, try going a little farther. They were there to help me if I really, you know, screwed things up royally. And because I had that freedom, and because I had my fellow students and friends who were also exploring what you could do, I felt free to try more. And because I had that network around me that was growing as I was, I knew my computer as something other than just a work tool, something other than just a chore enabler that would allow you to do more work. I knew it as a fun personal buddy. You know, it was there for me when there wasn't a lot to do. I could just go and use it and pass the time and have a lot of fun doing it. And then as I got older, I met more people who weren't as fortunate and didn't really get the fact that computers could do more than work for you. And that was what really propelled me into first doing Odyssey Magazine to try and spread the word that there were indeed accessible games out there, and also to then recently finally start working on this guide. I had been haunted for over a decade by people who just, I kept meeting them on and on in Ontario, even with this ADP program. There were so many people who had these wonderful machines that sighted people would give their eye teeth for, but didn't know that they could do anything but read and write with them. They were just barely above paperweights. And that just struck me as criminally unfair. Sighted people, it's impossible to be a sighted person, and unless you're living under a rock, you are going to know that your computer can play games, can write emails, can go on the internet, can do all these different things, because it's pushed at you. It's in advertising, it's in media, it's in the shows that you watch, it's in the conversation around you. Blind people have this added barrier of accessibility, and computers are pushed at them just as tools for education and work. And that is such a disadvantage, it's unbelievable. And that was essentially why I wrote the guide, to try and do what I could to help that problem go away and get put that information out there for people to know that computers are worth so much more than just work tools. They can, especially given the high unemployment numbers in the blind community, something like 70 to 80%. I heard a survey that said that 64%, I think it was in Australia, of university graduates who were blind gave up looking for work. It was that hard to find. And these are university-educated people. Now, that says something. That says there's a problem out there that's bigger than individuals, that's bigger than all of us, and it has to be solved. And it probably won't get solved, at least not within our lifetime. But what we can do is aim for something better. We can aim to be productive in life, even if we don't find jobs. And that's what really drives me. I want to look back at a life where I've accomplished stuff. And if you can't pay back the people who help you, pay it forward. Look for ways to help others. And that, in essence, will pay back the people who help you. It always seems to work that way. And that's essentially, I guess, the core of what I'm all about.
Excellent. Thank you, sir. that's a good start. Now, what in the world is personal power? And what does it have in it? And what were you trying to do with it?
Well, personal power is a guide, and I guess it's the best word I can choose for it. It's more of a traveler's gazette than an actual instruction book. A lot of people want to, you know, need these instructions that to do this, A, B, C, D, done, right? And that kind of information is already out there. You know, I can't think of any example of access technology that doesn't come with online help built into the system, plus, you know, the manuals, the Braille CDs or the, you know, the Braille material, the DAISY CDs or American equivalent that will come with it. So it's not the fact that people don't have access to information that will tell them how to do more than the basics. It's that they're left unaware of two things: that they can access this information if they're really unlucky and their trainer is lapse in not informing them of the help that's available, which has happened, and also what they might want to do with these machines other than read and write, because that's the other biggie. I mean, if you get these machines and you get training on two things and you're not motivated to do what you've learned, then that machine is just going to sit there collecting dust because there's no motivation to, you know, push you forward, to keep you practicing and to keep you learning more. So you need a hook. You need a personal inspiration to keep you going. And that's why I did Personal Power. I wanted to show people and leave them in no doubt that there is a lot more than work that you can do with your computer. So that essentially, Personal Power is about a 50,000 word guide. It's a rich text file, and it's basically a lot of my experience mixed with some instruction about the digital world and what we can do with our computers and the internet.
Goodness. I guess the other thing that I wanted to explore a little bit is some of the specific subjects that you would regard as kind of outside the scope of traditional instruction. What are some of the things that you cover that don't usually get covered in manuals that people get?
Well, I cover a lot of things that are certainly above what you'd get traditionally in Ontario, and I suspect in the States as well. From what I've heard from the emails, I've gotten quite a lot of response from people about this guide. What people are missing are just the things like online shopping, like using Instant Messenger, Skype, that kind of thing. Computer games, that the fact that there are accessible games out there for blind people to play. Things like searching, how to use Google search engines to find different things, like in different information of interest to you, different accessible sites. I've got a whole ton of links in there linking people to resources that would really help beginners get started, like ACB Radio is certainly one of them. For the People, another talking community, that's quite a good, well-run community, so good for beginners to drop in there. A few of the other central sites for blind community that are sort of forming on the net, that kind of thing. So it's about steering people beyond and out into the stream of the internet for blind people particularly. It can be a good way of breaking down that isolation and making the journey I had hopefully shorter for them than it was for me. So there's that kind of thing. I touch on the free screen readers that are available very briefly in one of the sections. Give a brief overview of what I think of each one. So there's all kinds of things to make sure that people realize that they can take advantage of this and go beyond the very basics.
Now, when the book was originally released, it was released as an RTF file or a rich text format file. But the book has now appeared in some other formats. Is that correct, Michael?
Well, if it has, I haven't heard about that happening. I really tried. I figured after I wrote this guide, you'd think that some of the big organizations would want to make it a more accessible, more permanent form. Because, of course, if you're already online, then the guide is pretty much perfectly fine for you in most instances. But if you haven't yet got up the skill to go online or to read a computer document, I can't reach you right now with the guide, because you have to be able to do that, or at least listen to an MP3 lecture that might give you enough of an explanation where you can load the guide and start learning from it. But it's all online, and I'd love to take it offline, but I haven't yet, despite considerable effort this summer. This past summer, I sent out a lot of emails, called a lot of places in hopes of finding an organization to make it into a Daisy book or an audio CD set or something along those lines that anyone could just plop in their player and play without having to know a lot about computers. And that way I'd reach a lot of the people that inspired me initially to write the guide. A lot of the people that inspired me to really do this were people who hadn't even gotten really into the computers and didn't know what it was all about, didn't know what they could do with it. It's a shame that I couldn't reach more of those people, but I feel as an individual, I've done all I can. I've put it out there. It's free for everyone. It's not like I'd want royalties from people who would make it into another format. You know, I'd encourage them and give them every right to make it into a, as long as it's offered, you know, for free to any blind people that are interested, I'm absolutely okay with it.
In your answer, you talked about MP3 lectures. Tell me a little more about those.
Well, what I did in an attempt to reach more people who might not be up to reading a text file quite yet, I basically recorded three fireside chats, as I called them, 1, 2, and 3, and they're each around, I'd say, a little under half an hour. So you can basically put them all, burn them all into a regular audio CD, and give it to someone if they don't know enough to, say, listen to the MP3s or look at the full guide. It took quite a while. I'm not as good at these kind of lectures as I am at writing, unfortunately. So it took quite an effort to get them done, but I finally managed it after weeks of working on it and put them up there. So that's basically what they are. They introduce, in general, just a sweeping sort of crash tour of what you can do with your digital computer. So everything from the internet to online games to shopping to instant messengers. I tried to cover as much sort of as I could without hopefully being, you know, too overwhelming. There's that danger as well. I probably veered a little too far in that direction, but they'll hopefully help to encourage some people to go farther and look for help a little closer to home, kind of thing.
So if folks want to find those MP3 files as a way of starting off with the book and want to actually hear the audio fireside chats first, where would they go to find them?
Well, currently there are two places that I know of. Now, that's not to say that they haven't popped up elsewhere, because I've given everyone permission to basically post them wherever. A bit like waving the sorcerer's wand, you can't really keep track of it all after a certain time. But there are two main places that I'd point people to. One of them is the original place where I published the guide and lectures, www.blind-planet.com/content/personal-power. So you type all that in, hit enter, and you should get there most times. And it's a really great, Blind Planet is a community site that's started up by a nice guy in California. And I can never remember how to pronounce his name correctly. Very nice guy. And he was the one who initially helped me publish, post the stuff up there, because I wouldn't have had a clue how to do it. And so I did that on June 19th of last summer. And after that, a little while later, I was quite pleasantly surprised to find that blindcooltech.com, one of the most famous podcasts in terms of material for blind people and generated by blind people, posted my guide and the three lectures in their feed. So at the other, if you just go to www.blindcooltech.com and look for Personal Power, on the page, you'd have to use your search function, your JAWS search function or equivalent thereof, if you're using another access solution, you could then find the guide on there in that podcast. It's a mammoth resource. I highly recommend everyone visit it. It's got loads of just cool stuff. Everything from sightseeing tours to all kinds of crazy things.
And how would one spell blind cool tech?
Basically, just like it sounds, www.blind, B-L-I-N-D, cool, C-O-O-L, tech, T-E-C-H, tech.com. It's all one word, and no dashes or anything. So that's an even easier place to find the guide and lectures.
So on June 19th, the latest Michael Fair project appeared out of nowhere by magic on the internet. Have you had any response to its appearance?
Oh, yes. Yeah, entirely different than I expected. If anything, I thought it would be mostly North America, Canada, the U.S., and not too much really beyond that, at least initially. And what ended up happening is I got pretty much... in terms of big organizations, I got pretty much nothing at first from any of them. I thought CNIB up here in Canada, I guess you've got about four or five big AFB and NFB and ACB and a couple others, I'm sure, down there. I thought some of them would be interested, and I thought maybe the RNIB over in the UK might be interested. I haven't heard a peep from any of those people yet. But I did get a flood of emails from individuals, especially over the first number of days, and it's still happening, and I have no doubt this will generate more. And it's really great, because you get these emails from people in places like Trinidad, you know, and Pakistan and China, and it's like, wow, you know. In South Africa, there was a South African newspaper that printed an article about me, the E-Standard, I think it was called, or something like that. And so apparently a lot of people down there are now using my guide and have taken notice. So it's spread to a lot of, it's done different good than I expected. I really thought I hoped to help initially people who hadn't even taken that digital plunge yet. And I ended up making a big impression with people who already were online and just needed that little extra confidence to go farther. And it's really been quite a rush getting all these emails from everyone and them not being spam. You know, it's a nice surprise. So, yeah, it's been a really wonderful response. It seems every time I try to do good, it ends up not quite coming out as I expected, and usually doing good to different people than I originally expected. So it's always a real fun ride for me.
We're going to open it up for discussion pretty soon. Let me ask you one more kind of major question, and that is, just out of interest, which of the sections of Personal Power did you actually find the hardest to write, and which do you think is the one that you'd like people to perceive as the most useful, if you can answer either of those questions?
All right, well, I'll take a stab at it. Certainly the first one is simplicity itself. The hardest thing, and the most, I didn't really expect to really have to write this, and this sounds strange. I started the guide primarily to help people who, I assumed their basic training would cover at least the point where they could get online, and then it would become, help them go farther, help them explore more and find out about more on the net. So I started the guide at Lake Joe, and after a week there, it's a resort. Lake Joseph Center is up in Canada. It's a wonderful resort that blind people can go to and have vacations at for a week or more if they have the funds. And I was up there, and I met all these people who seemed to know computers a little, but just hadn't really ventured online. So that was my original audience. I went away and wrote the guide for about a year, and then came back up there, and a new crowd was there, and I kind of bounced this off a bunch of them, and I got, what's the start menu? What's the desktop? What's, how do I navigate? What's a pull-down menu? How do I use the taskbar? And I'm like, oh my God, these people don't even know Windows. Like, they don't even know the context of what they're doing. And I had to then go back and write a whole section on the very basics of Windows, which I never thought I'd I'd write. I figured all that information is out there. All the, you know, JAWS manual had it in plenty. You have it in online help with pretty much, I assumed, most access technology would come with plenty of instruction, but that people had no motivation to use it because no one had told them what it might do for them. So why slog through painful manuals if you don't have a clue what you'll get? So the writing, the very basics, the fundamentals of Windows, it sounds like it would be easy, but it was just so dull to write and hard to make interesting. And I really felt that it was a different whole tack to the rest of my guide. It just didn't feel the same. So that was frustrating for me. I was probably a little bit irritable while I was working on that section, and it was really draining for me to do that. I hope it ends up helping people. I really do, but I guess for that to happen more, it would have to be made into something available to people who hadn't yet taken that plunge and gotten their computers. So that was the hardest section. The probably the most useful. That's a tougher one. I would hope that people would find all of it, the other sections, useful. Protecting one's computer was one section I tried to really put effort into, really spelling out why it was so important. I guess certainly the computer games section, it's always, I believe games have a lot of power to teach and a lot of their journeys. And, you know, if we go on them, we'll come away with having learned a lot from them. And I really, that was the section I felt best about doing. Sharing that the delight that I had experienced with them. The communication section certainly is probably going to be, I imagine, one of the most useful. It covers everything from email to online or blogs, all the different things like that. In it, that would, I would imagine, be one of my most useful sections. But I guess we'll see as time goes on and I get more feedback what other people think. So, hopefully that answers your two questions semi-satisfactorily.
I think you did fine.
From ACB Radio Mainstream, you are listening to Tuesday Topics. If you have comments about the show or a suggestion of a topic you would like to have discussed, send a message to TuesdayTopics@acbradio.org. That's TuesdayTopics@acbradio.org. Once again, the host of Tuesday Topics, Paul Edwards.
Let's open it up and see what other questions people might have for Michael. Don't forget to tell us who you are and where you're from.
Michael, this is Gary Wood from Lansing, Michigan. I think that since I've started learning how to use a computer, I think that it's really freed me in ways that I never thought could be. Because it's like 30 years ago, I never would have thought of getting as far as I have been lately and how much I've learned using the computer. Just like I had an Apple IIe for a while, but I was like in my 40s, and now I'm just doing it for recreational, not for a job. But there's so many amazing possibilities with a computer that I found since I've started using one.
Good evening. This is Dave McElroy, Visalia, California, and I first of all have not seen this piece of work. I would now, I'm kind of excited and would like to. I think it really sounds fun. One of the things that Michael I have found as a computer user and a ham radio operator is that the computer and amateur radio go beautifully together. And this is one area where at least for 80% of the technology, blindness is not an issue. There is a little bit of graphic. There are some the APRS functions, what have you, that are graphical. But in the main line, a blind person can really enjoy ham radio via the computer. And I have found that to be a lot of fun over the years. I've seen the development, you know, of course, I came in after you guys with the Apple IIe's. I didn't mess with those other than to see one at my neighbor's house, but they were sighted people, and they didn't really think about it. I came into the computers a little bit later in time. I think, in the late 80s, the very late 80s and early 90s. And the advances that we've seen in voice technology since then, bringing... for example, the world of shortwave to the average computer now. Amazing stuff. And again, a lot of this is quite amenable to those of us who grew up on amateur radio and shortwave listening and all that. The computer has really opened a lot of doors that way.
Absolutely. Since I published my guide, I've had a few people mention that and the ham radio and the shortwave. Now, the shortwave, of course, I guess my exposure to it is more like sites like the BBC. I used to have a shortwave radio, but I really didn't muck around with it as much as perhaps I ought to have. But I guess it's a lot easier now for me to just go to the BBC website and tune in to all their great stuff, the documentaries, the shows and dramas and everything out there. There's so much content out there. And if you're like I am, unemployed, but still having a work ethic and still wanting to learn things as you go through life, there's so much out there that's just waiting for the taking. And that's one of the big things that I hope I've encouraged people to do, is to use more of their potential. Because I think there are a lot of blind people out there. Well, I know there are a lot that are unemployed. It's a vicious cycle, because sooner or later, if you're, minus a number of circumstances that are fortunate in my life, you can run into space where you stop giving, and it looks so easy. Like you kind of think, well, if no one wants to hire me for what I can do, then why should I do anything? And I've seen a lot of blind people, unfortunately, slide into that trap. And it really is, it looks great in the beginning, but then, it cycles down, and it's a bad way of going through life. And I hope that I've given more of them an opportunity to find the enjoyment and the meaning that I've found through the internet, through being able to reach out and help people and have an audience for my writing. I've been able to do a lot, and I'm currently starting another project that'll help, hopefully help more people avoid that trap, that'll take a good 4 more years to do, so you might not see much from me in the meantime. Well, I'll have other things I'll be working on, I'll be online and stuff, but it really is to give back, is one of the most important things I think we can do, to look out and to try and reach beyond ourselves. And that's what drove me to really write this guide and share the gift I have before I then I'm going on to pursue another project. So that's the radio too. I know a lot of blind people have found a lot of meaning on ham radio and have actually been able to, again, reach out and impact people, affect good, provide emergency relaying when that's needed. I've heard of a number of stories like that, and that's just great,
Michael, this is Brian from Watertown, Massachusetts. Paul and I did a show last week on Tuesday Topics, and we were talking about kids and people getting the right kinds of advice to teachers of the visually impaired and parents of the visually impaired in terms of access technology and the K-12 crowd. I'm curious, is this work appropriate for families, or is it really directed at the employment age adult, and is it solely for consumption of those who are themselves blind or visually impaired, or can it help those who are professionals in the field of blindness and working with their clientele?
Well, let's see. I guess to start, it should. I don't think I've said anything that wouldn't be inappropriate for families. In fact, I would hope that families find it a good resource. It should not only tell the kids in families, I'd say 10 and up, 12 and up, in that range. I can't imagine kids much younger getting much out of the guide, in that terms. But it should help. Parents should read it, because they're going to find out things that they can direct their kids to, and about software such as accessible games, such as other things that'll encourage their kids to do more with their computers and become more proficient through fun things that they'll hopefully be motivated to do. And it's really targeted. It's for people with any motivation at all to get more, to explore the digital world, to get out online, to have fun, to pursue personal interests. It's really all about personal pursuits with the computer. So it's not sort of education and employment fixed. I figure there are enough people doing that out there already. And what's really needed is what sighted people enjoy. You know, they grew up in the 80s and even a bit earlier, I guess, with computers as their ways of expression, their art tools, their, you know, all these different things, communication things, cool gaming things. It was fun. It wasn't work. And that's why you have a whole generation that's so comfortable with this technology, and why you have so many blind people not in there is because they were faced with computers as drudgery tools. So anything that helps break down that artificially placed barrier and gets people using more of their computers on their own time, on their own terms, is, I think, a good thing, and should, I hope, help more people find the skills, find their niches where they can get paid for work and find employment and have an easier time through education. So I guess that's a bit of a roundabout answer for you, but I hope it does the trick.
I'm wondering if you have had any issues with, say, people who are older and have come along and said, gee, I was always afraid to get involved with a computer until this course, until I got hold of your guide. I'm thinking of the 50, 60, 70-year-old people. I've informed a few people about your guide and attempted to get them interested in it. And I wonder if you've had any luck with people who've just said, gee, I wish I had started this sooner, and there is more than the talking book and the tape recorder.
Well, as it happens, one of them lived close enough near to me. I believe she's in her 70s, and she wanted to learn more about her computer, and I am now, in small bits and pieces, tutoring her in that. She'll drive me to, not her personally, because she's blind, so that would be kind of dangerous, but her husband will drive me to the house and back, and I will spend 3 hours at a stretch in the afternoon, usually afternoon anyway, teaching her, and that's been pretty rewarding. It's not. I find it's like she likes to take a lesson and take notes and then absorb that for a while. So it's not like every week. It's more 1 week and then two or three with nothing, and then another week. So it's really, pacing is important here. That would be the one thing that I've really come away from the experience with, is that it's really, let them take their time to explore it themselves. It's hard, as someone who knows a lot and has used computers since age 10, it requires some sort of patience. You want to show them everything. You're so eager for them to share what you want, what you have yourself experience, that it's a very powerful temptation to overwhelm them with too much information. So it's that fine line between spacing it out, letting them take their time, that kind of thing. But yeah, I have had a few emails also from old people saying, wow, this is great, and even before that, even when I was doing Odyssey, the game magazine, I got a couple of old people calling, and I'd expect them, if anything, to want an accessible cribbage game or something, and then they'd ask, how do you play this tank game, or how do you, do this Pac-Man version, or whatever the latest thing was then, and I was just floored. So I learned quite a bit younger that, age is in the mind. You never know what the aspirations of us are going to be when we get that much farther in life.
My statement is, I ran into your guide a couple of nights ago, and I've been home, for those that are listening, I have been home for the last 8 years with my life totally flipped upside down because of multiple cancers and serious back problems. So it took me out of the game. I've been blind for 52 years. I'll be 62 December 4. And I'm still have an active vending machine route that's 440 miles long that I've been doing for 22 years in the Business Enterprise Program. My point is that I ended up, after that much serious illness and close to death many times, alone. People just went away, and I'm having to start my life over. And I knew deep in my core, because I've heard sighted people talk about, and I've seen, like Michael says, on TV and everywhere, the great things that people can do with computers. But every blind person I ever talked to was just so, I mean, they would talk about, well, you can kind of go like on this list and that list and so forth and so on, but it was very, very limited. And I had this conviction deep inside me that the only way I'm going to find sanity and the ability to give back once again, and I have spent my whole life giving in any way that I could, that when I listened to Michael's recordings, it just gave me what I did not have for a long time, and that was hope and the possibility of freedom once again, to imagine, to be, to meet people, to possibly make friends again, to create, to be created, different things, ideas, all that. And it just like was like a more than a brush of fresh air. It was like a drink of water in the desert, because I've been here trying. I've been on these computers for years, but because of my medical problems with chemo and so forth, the ability to remember, to do things and to hang on to, I had what's called chemo brain, and it's short-term memory loss. I can sit here and literally not know why I'm sitting here. And I tried going to the training center. We have one here in Boise for the blind. And I just did this a while back. One of the things I was told when I was down there, I was refused to be shown Windows Media Player because they said, quote, Windows Media Player is not work-related. Now that's nonsense. There's podcasts, there's MP3s, that goes on and on. Without Windows Media Player, how am I supposed to access them? I suppose there's other programs, but that came on my computer. And I was really angered about that. And you just opened it up and said, I've done it. I know how to do it. Here's how to do it. In basically simple, everyday terms. And I just want you to know, I am so grateful for this, and I will put it to work along with other things that I use. But I'm going to tell you, it just flat, you saved my life. I was sitting there frustrated, wondering what in God's name am I going to do besides read my books in Braille and talking books and just kind of fumble around on my computer until the day I died. And why did I live through all of that just to sit here and do that? I'm a very creative, driven individual, and I now see I have an avenue to at least get my spirit and my mind the hell out of this house. Thank you.
Wow. That's fantastic. I'm glad he found out about it. It's the kind of thing that I often wish he'd started something like that sooner. I certainly, thinking back now, yeah, I probably should have, but I had other things going on there. But wow, that's really great. I'm very honored. You probably have loads of ideas. I can just hear them bubbling in your mind. Loads of ideas, loads of information. Write that down. Start a blog. You know, do something like that with it, because that could help someone else down the road. I mean, I'm sure you know a lot about a lot of things, and that you're exactly who I had hoped to reach. People like you that didn't quite see the potentials, you know, and weren't shown what their machines that they already had could do for them. So that really is amazing to hear your story, and I hope that I'll eventually be able to read some of your writing online or in other places. You know, there are a lot of places that'll accept writing publications or audio or both. So there's a lot of room for creative people like us to lend a hand, to step up and do things online.
One of the things that I told Michael, and this is Paul in Miami, just before the program, is we're one of the few colleges that teaches an access technology course. It's a 4-credit college course. It's really an introduction to microcomputers course that is taught in the context of access technology. And we have now added Michael's book to our required reading list for the course and have also sent it to a number of students who have already completed the course and gotten credit, because we want to see more people have an opportunity to take a look at the work that Michael's done. I think the other comment that I would make is what differentiates Michael's work, I think, from so much else that's out there is his style. The whole book and the chats as well are organized in a way that doesn't condescend, doesn't set high expectations, but it enables people to just kind of listen along and gradually acquire the skills that that the book can provide. So I think there's a real spot for your book. Now, I heard you say earlier, Michael, and I'll shut up after this for a while and let others ask questions, that you really would like it if some ways could be found to make your book more widely available to people who are not yet online. That is, to create Braille versions, and I would assume large print versions and CD versions of the lectures. Do you have any ideas yourself as to how we might best do this, or any thoughts about other objectives that you haven't met that you'd like to see met by the book?
Well, that really is the only remaining slightly unfulfilled objective that I have for the project. Basically, in all of the ways, it's been quite fulfilling for me and quite rewarding, much beyond what I had even hoped for. But in that one way, it's limited to people who are already online, unless they know people who will pass it to them and retrieve it from online and burn the lectures to a CD or provide the guide and give them instruction on how to start reading it. And that's happening. I'm getting feedback from people who have had that done. But to really make it en masse available, I think it would take a big organization, something like the CNIB Library or the RNIB over in Britain, the AFB, I suppose, in the States, perhaps the APH could do something with it. Because it would need to be made in multiple formats, and it would need to be made by people with deep enough pockets and the resources to make this thing widely available, like truly available to people who could just... I'd be interested in getting this guide and also to advertise it to them. I can do that online, but beyond that, I really can't reach with my... I did quite an extensive campaign of emailing. I must have sent 1,000 emails this summer or more to different places about this guide. So I guess it's at the stage where someone bigger than me has to sort of pick up what I've done and carry it farther. And I guess that's what really has to happen. An organization would sort of have to take it and produce it in these alternate formats.
Michael, I was thinking, as you were looking for entities to do this offline publishing of the book, did you approach places like National Braille Press, who publish books in alternative formats all the time? They don't just render Braille and e-text books, if you will, from mainstream publishers, but those they think will benefit the blindness community as well. And the other entity that comes to mind is the Hadley School for the Blind, a correspondence school. They certainly have the capacity to do that kind of a project, if they especially can turn it into an offline course about doing things on computers.
I believe I did send both those places information on the guide earlier in the summer in hopes that they'd do that. I'll double check those two again now that you've brought them fresh to my mind. Now the Hadley one, I believe they already have a computer course, which I assume they would have updated. I took it as part of SCORE, I believe it was SCORE 90. Yeah, I went to a computer camp they had here in Canada called SCORE, and I'm pretty sure they had a computer course then. So assuming they've kept it up to date, they might not be too keen on printing out another one. I don't know. But I'll certainly approach those too and see if anything comes of that. I guess there are a few other outlets. I was on VoicePrint earlier this summer. It's a reading service. I'm pretty sure you guys have equivalent ones down in the States. You can watch it on TV on SAP, on the secondary audio, like you do with the descriptive audio. And I was on a show called Contact, and a few people seem to have found out of my guide through that. I also tried to approach newspapers. I haven't had too much luck with that. But I did get into that South African one and a few others, and that, I guess, has alerted some parents. Apparently soon I'm going to be in a newsletter from, it looks like, Australia and New Zealand and the U.S. It sort of circulates around, and apparently something I've written is going to be published in that. So, it's word is getting out there, but, yeah, it's hard to reach those people who just don't get the whole what it opens up. That it can be more useful than just for work. It can be an awfully big leap, which it isn't for sighted people. That's the real disadvantage that we face.
So what's Michael Fair thinking of working on now? I know that we're fortunate to have lurking in the background a wonderful lady who is your fiance, so I would guess that marriage is somewhere in your future. But beyond that, what else, what other projects are you working on?
Well, I always have to have something on the go, otherwise I kind of go a little nuts. So basically what I'm doing now is starting to work on an accessible game. It's going to be a very large story, statistics-driven game, dealing with probability and chance, and it's going to basically tell a moral story. It's every time you play, it should be a different experience. You're going to be going through it different ways and making different decisions, which will lead to different outcomes. So you're never going to have the same game twice. And it's a sort of mix between a war game and choose your own adventure with a role-playing game and a board game thrown in. It's mixing all those genres of game into a kind of epic fantasy journey. You're a wizard and his companions out on this island that you've found yourself cast ashore on, and this island is the last bastion of magic in the world, and you have to sort of try and organize the islanders to save this magic and preserve it for sort of the uses of good versus the uses of evil. There'll be a nemesis in the game, an archdemon that I'm still crafting, who will be out to, of course, terrify everyone with supernatural occurrences. So it's all about sort of good versus evil, the value of society, faith, all that kind of stuff. Because I think what I've noticed is in these blind people who have sort of drifted away into these more self-centered lives, and apparently also in sighted people for the younger generation, there are a lot of people who just seem to have lost that in the drive to survive and to make a buck and to do all this stuff. It sort of gets lost, and they kind of lead these empty and sometimes destructive lives. And I see games as this century's art form, this century's way of reaching people who might not always want to be reached, and to put these propositions to them in a way that isn't, you're not spoon-fed this morality. It's going to be more, I guess, free-form. So you'll be able to do things that aren't always right, that aren't always moral, and learn from those mistakes. They will have consequences, and you'll have to deal with them. And it's sort of, I guess, it's a lot about life. It's a lot about the lessons that I guess a lot of us just learn, but some of us haven't quite reached yet. And it's also about fun. So even if you know all the life lessons I'm going to teach, I hope to make a game that's just endless fun every time you play it.
Michael, we're coming to the point at which we're going to have to wind down this evening. I'm looking forward to the game, so whenever it comes out, count me in. But just before we wind down, perhaps you'd be so good as to tell people how they can get hold of your product again, that is, get hold of Personal Power, but also, if you're minded to, give them an email address where people could communicate directly with you as well.
Okay, first off, to reach my guide, there are a couple of good places to get it. The first is where I originally published it, www.blind-planet.com/content/personal-power. That's a bit of a long one, but that's where it was originally published, and there's the guide right there on the page and the three lectures. The other place is www.blindcooltech, blind, B-L-I-N-D, C-O-O-L-T-E-C-H, .com. Wonderful, fun place to check out, even if you're not interested in the guide. Go check it out. There's some crazy audio stuff there. My email, I love hearing from people, from readers, and just people interested in the similar stuff to me, or different stuff sometimes too. That can be fun too. Email me at michael.fair, and that's michael dot F as in Frank, E-I-R, at gmail.com. And I'll happily respond to emails as long as I'm available and time permits. So hopefully that'll do well.
Sound like Mike's the type of person that a job doesn't necessarily have to become work.
Well, I guess I've made my own work. I guess rather than being hired, I've hired myself. I found my vocation, and if I can look back on a life where I've done a lot of good for people and had a meaningful impact, I mean, that's worth more to me than any amount of money.
And I actually think you can, Michael. I think in the past 10 or 15 years, there are an awful lot of folks who have had their lives enriched by the work that you have done, and essentially done not only not charging for it, but conveying by what you do the love that you have, not only for life, but of the material you're covering. I mean, it's absolutely clear at Personal Power, just as it always was looking at Odyssey, that Michael Fair wasn't involved in either gaming or using a computer and helping others to become more adept at it, just because it was something to do. It was something that made life better for him and for everybody else. Michael, we truly do appreciate your being here. If you have questions for us at Tuesday Topics, send us an email at Tuesday Topics, all one word, at acbradio.org, tuesdaytopics@acbradio.org. I'd like to thank Michael Fair very much for being our guest. I'd like to thank everyone for their participation this evening. I'd like to encourage all of you to join us again for Tuesday Topics. And remember, whether it's a personal computer or a personal relationship or a personal check, you have the power. Good night.
To participate in the recording of Tuesday Topics, we invite you to join us on Tuesday evenings in the U.S. at 9 p.m. Eastern. That's Wednesday at 2 hours Universal. The program is recorded in the Our Place Politics chat room at ourplace.acbradio.org. That's ourplace.acbradio.org. All you need is a microphone that is plugged into your computer sound card. A few minutes before each program begins, those who are online will be happy to assist with audio checks and to answer questions about the chat room software. An announcement about the show, including information about the topic and the guest speaker, will be emailed to the ACB Radio Friends List. So we hope you will come and join us each week on Tuesday, when Tuesday Topics is being recorded. We'll look for you in the Our Place Politics chat room at ourplace.acbradio.org. Tuesday Topics is a production of ACB Radio Mainstream.